My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You were trying to get that out of me, the whole story of that. That was, Twitter reactions brought to you by Chauvin Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Just let me say this. Tommy Matthews, I can't imagine the tweets and DMs you guys get or the weird requests like Mitch from St. Clair inviting you to birthday parties, LOL. We wanted to go Mitch from St. Clair's birthday party.
We wanted to go.
We've been invited to weddings. We wanted to go. We both have small kids. We can't go. I have sent regards.
Mitch,
those are not bad things.
The Mitch behind the box, you were invited to a Vegas trip, I believe.
I was. Yes, you were. I told you there was one guy who I'm like, ooh, and then you guys, it was almost an intervention. See, that's why you're laughing, because you know you got people thinking these things now. You know it. You know damn well.
There was a guy that kept hitting Ken up, because Ken comes off as the best friend.
I don't come off as that way. I'm a nice person.
Okay, Ken's a nice person, and this guy thought that him and Ken were best friends.
What do people do when
they think they're friends with somebody?
No.
They hit him up. They start to use and abuse.
I have listeners who have become friends, who have been very nice, and we've been nice to each other over these last 13 years.
Then there's Pumpkinhead.
Guy wears a pumpkin on his head. What else do you want me to say? The guy puts vegetables on his head. Or fruits, whatever they are. I don't know. I'm not a horticulturist. Okay.
His kids did a nice job on my apple tree.
They did do a good job. So anywho, there was one guy. There was never a friendship. He just thought he was going to use me for whatever. And I finally consulted with the Marble Mouth of Crawford County. And you guys, all three of you guys were going, Kenny, this is too much. You gotta cut this person out of your life.
I couldn't believe the stones on this guy.
He says, okay, fine. Coming up at 7:20, we got Jason Lloyd joining us on the show. Your rant yesterday, though, I got to tell you, I've never seen that many people agree with you. 95-96%, if you were going to do it, are going to do it that way and say, yep, you know what? I agree with Tone. There were, though, the vocal minority, very loud, megaphone minority, who were saying that you're a Dolan's apologist, a homer for the Dolans, is what they were calling you, right?
Yeah, I get
that. How big a series is this weekend for your rant?
What?
Because you know those people come out the woodwork, bud.
It is a huge series. And look, there's going to be pressure now on a team that came into the season, I think, with no pressure. Maybe Stephen Vogt had pressure. I should amend that. I think Vogt had some pressure to start the season. He wasn't going to just they were in last place in a division.
Mm-hmm.
That was not going to go well for him. Instead, he did the exact opposite. And I do think these are nice bellwether series. Look, it's not the It's not the end of the world. They're not going to be eliminated from the postseason if they have a bad series this weekend. But look what they did in Philadelphia. Who the hell thought the way they were playing the last month and a half, they were going to go into... Did Philly have the best record in baseball at that time or second best record?
Yes.
Who thought they were going to go in there on the road the way they were limping, the way everybody seemed to be struggling at the exact same time, and then get two out of three? Yeah, you got blown out in the middle game. You took two out of three. You won the close ones.
Yeah.
And that seems to be the MO of this team this year, that even when they're not playing their best baseball, their lead in the division expands. And that's what just happened with Minnesota.
That was the odd thing, is that I do think there's a lot of folks out there who are trying to talk themselves into not thinking they have much of a chance. So we're getting this feeling of the shoe's going to drop at any moment. And there's been times, guys, where I've kind of had that feeling. I've had a person who works in Cleveland sports who I've said nice things about, who came up to me. I'm dead serious. You think they're thinking the World Series? I'm like, I'm not sure. He goes, tell me the truth. And I says, I'm not sure. He goes, you say no because of the starting pin, don't you? Yeah. Okay. Like, walked off. That's what it was. He knows I'll lie to myself, and he knows that I'm an emotional person, and I'll try to tell myself the truth. I was worried about starting pitching as much as anybody, but I also know that what are you going to do if they can't, if you don't have the wherewithal to make these trades for these guys? I cannot advise you to give up prospects 1 through 20 for a pitcher that nobody in Brunswick, from Brunswick to Conneaut to Sandusky to anywhere, knew who this guy was. I can't advise that. Like, I don't want that. They've made themselves a competitive club by not doing dumb things, by giving up a lot of prospects. And I know that you guys clutch onto them like they're pearls. To some degree, yes, it's true. But they've done things where they've not given up a bunch of their prospects and depleted their farm for guys who are not that great. And that's what they can't do. I mean, you mentioned the Manzardo thing. What if Josh Naylor has an injury history? I don't like to do whataboutism or what-if-ism, but if Josh Naylor were to go down, all of a sudden I got a hole because I traded this guy away. Okay? I can't necessarily do that right now for pitchers who aren't that great to begin with. I mean, some of the guys, if you wanted to go after Brent Rooker, some people wanted to go after him, I can understand it because some of the stuff about social media and him coming after fans got out there and people loved it. Plus, he's a good ball player. He didn't end up going anywhere. You mentioned Blake Snell. He didn't end up going anywhere. But it still comes down to this. So many people agreed with you that I wonder if the tide has turned. They're owners. I don't think that owners are meant to be beloved individuals. I think people like owners as long as they win. And when they don't win or they don't meet the expectations that's set by the fans, I think owners are reviled mostly by their own fan bases or people get tired of. In Pittsburgh, like, you can look at the Roonies and say, hey, there's some philanthropy that goes on and they do it right. We say it here. There's some people going boring, tired, sick of them. Let's get some new blood in here. Let's get some winners in here. Sick and tired of just making the playoffs. That's it. I mean, that's what they say about a good, strong ownership where they've gone through generations. It pains me to say it because I hate the Steelers, but I have to respect them. They've gone through generations and have done it the right way. It took them a long time to get it done the right way, and they learned their lessons. But when you look at ownership with the Dolans, I don't think they're ever going to be liked or loved. I think that they can be kept at arm's length. I think that we can see what Major League Baseball is, and I don't know how to term it. I don't know what phrase to use with it, where it's like, all right, I accept you that you try to do with what you can, with what you have, to win as much as you possibly can. Because I see what the Pirates have done, where they've been investigated by Major League Baseball. Miami has been investigated by Major League Baseball in the past. I believe a couple other teams. All right, I see that you've tried to do what you can do. It's not where people are going to love the Dolans. I think that people have accepted, a lot of sports fans have accepted what Major League Baseball is. I don't think that's great for my Major League Baseball per se, but for sports fans in Cleveland, they go, this is what it is, this is what it's going to be, and the Dolans try to make the best of the situation. We can at least begrudgingly say that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't understand how either supporting this team or understanding their realities means that I am defending ownership. I think it's like if I was at home my entire youth and I wasn't able to take any kind of a vacation down to Florida, which we never took a vacation, and then every day, am I supposed to just complain that my parents can't afford a vacation to Florida? No. Eventually, you just stop complaining about it and you deal with the reality. Like, I get it. People say, well, you have a microphone. you have this responsibility to try to convince ownership to do things. What am I supposed to get everybody to stage a walkout? Like they've done, like they've done in Europe.
You reminded me of a letter I have to answer to a listener. Go right on ahead.
Yeah,
because I'm a nice guy.
You do write very nice, and the calligraphy, the handwriting.
Thank you.
I don't know if that is my responsibility. Every day, am I supposed to rail on ownership for not spending money? And I asked you this yesterday, and I genuinely, if anybody can correct me on this, then feel free, Mitch, get on this. Our crack staff of one, Mitch. Can you tell me the teams that are in our situation with limited local funds? And remember, we got our funds slashed this year because of the Diamond Sports negotiation and the bankruptcy. So we're getting even less than the paltry TV deal we have in comparison to New York or the Dodgers. Well, okay, can you tell me the owners that are spending...
There you go. That's the question I was going to ask.
That are spending the money?
Who are the money spenders? Because the Red Sox have tried to rip payroll.
Oh, yeah.
The Yankees...
Famously so.
Hal Steinbrenner has said it himself that after this year, they plan on reducing payroll by upwards of $100 million.
The Yankees?
The Padres spent money, and then unfortunately, it seems like that fan base actually really liked the guy. He passed away, and then all of a sudden they're going, wait, we have a huge deficit here. We have to take loans on to meet payroll coming up.
We're going to treat it like a business.
Like almost Major League Two from what they saw after this man passed away. And I'm thinking, who in our situation has spent money? Well, the Royals have spent money on Bobby Witt Jr. Okay, spread out over probably 13 years, we spent money on Jose Ramirez. That's where we spent our money on. Bobby Witt Jr. is hopefully going to be able to draw and be an olive branch to that fan base for a long period of time while they build things. Just like what we are doing right now with Jose Ramirez. An olive branch to the fan base, a fantastic baseball player for at least, I mean, he's 31, so you're hoping for a little bit longer, obviously. I think he has the wherewithal to do that. And then as we build, we're going to put something together that hopefully will compete with that. So I look at the entire situation, but to a lot of fans, Tone, that sounds like a giant excuse. I think you're telling the truth. Maybe not with all the other things, but I think you're telling the truth about what Major League Baseball is. Because I ask, who are the spenders? Dodgers? Okay, right now the Yankees? Teams in major markets. And it's painful where if you want to use the argument for spenders, they don't always get what they're spending for. I guess I could throw the Astros in there. They compete every single year. They've won the World Series every single year. They've got a couple of them. They compete every single year. If you want to throw the Astros in there, you can. It's really, I think, the fourth or fifth biggest market in professional sports.
And their TV deal is $75 million. Yeah, ours this year is like deal. $35 million.
Yeah. So it's I don't think you're being a Dolan apologist. I think you're telling the truth of the situation.
Do I need to start every day? Like, I guess some restaurants start every day with the national anthem, some barbecue restaurants. Do I need to start every day going, I think it's irresponsible by the Dolans. They're ruining my fandom. They're not spending money. Sell the team. All right. Well, I'm excited about the Guardians today. Let's go. And then just start every day with that. Like, do I have to make an announcement every day that I wish my ownership had a lot more money and spent a lot more money?
Listen,
would that make people feel better?
I didn't expect you to say what you said yesterday. It was passionate. You stand by it. A lot of fans stand by it. I just got to point out to you, like, and I know you're right about this. You don't need me to tell you. Play the long game with it. Because, like, if they lose 3 or 4 against Baltimore this weekend, and obviously I hope they win 3 or 4, but if that were to happen, yeah, there's going to be some people calling you some names, and you're going to have to defend yourself on Monday. But overall, yeah, they've had these swoons before. And they've come out of it still 4 games ahead in the division, still 20 games over 500.
Listen, it's
still with guys like Gavin Williams who can give you a good outing, still with Tanner Bibee who can give you 100 pitches.
They have the shakiest starting rotation of a really good Guardians team
I
can remember.
Yes.
But with that said, I don't know that they could have fortified that. Everybody was telling you how bad the market was and how hard it was going to be.
And how desperate we were going to be. Well, it takes two to make a deal. And if they could see that happening, they were not going to be taken advantage of to be in a desperate situation. We now go to the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Mary Kay going to talk to us about the Browns, obviously, and what they have in the future. I have a problem with social media engagement farmers. I'm going to share it with Mary Kay coming up at 8 o'clock and with you coming up at that time. But right now, speaking of guys on social media and speaking of writers, a man who basically has a big can of gasoline and one match. It's Jason Lloyd who joins us on the show, ready to set fires all over Browns training camp.
Oh,
good morning, Jason.
I don't know that I would quite classify it like that.
Well, my first question to me, to you, is where do you come off?
Where do I come off? Yeah. What do you mean?
Oh, this strong article that you wrote the other day that set the world ablaze.
All right.
Where do you
so
come off?
You think I drove down to West Virginia saying, you know what? We haven't talked about this in 2 years. It's time. It's time to just run this back out and do this again.
I think you did.
You think I drove to West Virginia with that intent?
I think you did.
Really?
You're a crazy person, Jason. I think you did, yeah.
No, you are lying and you know it. But when I'm standing there, and listen, you know what? Let's back up for 1 second, okay? Because, like, I think it's – before we get into why I wrote the article, I think it's important to note that, like, I have been defending the Browns all along on this about, listen, they had to upgrade the position. He was the best thing out there. If you want to be upset with the NFL. They're the ones who said he's eligible to play. And once he's eligible to play, you operate under those rules of engagement. On your air, I went after Tony Busby harder than anybody has when I was filling in on the afternoon show, because all I was trying to do was just get to the truth. So we went after Rusty. Dustin and I went after Rusty, and then we went after Tony Busby on consecutive days. Just state your case. Don't spin it. Let's get to the truth. So this, if there's this notion out there that I'm against Deshaun or that I'm anti-Deshaun, that is absolutely not true, and I have all the proof to back that up. So then we get to set to the last week at the Greenbrier. Mm-hmm. I'm standing listening to him, and he starts off with the, you know, block out the BS. Okay, fine. That's every quarterback should. You can't play successful in the NFL if you're, that was one of the complaints with Baker. And I think one of the things with Deshaun, you listen too much about what other people are saying. But then when you start off with the people are questioning my character, and people don't like me. Seriously? Really? You're going to stand up there? You are going to stand up there and talk about character and why people don't like you? I couldn't take it anymore. Couldn't take it anymore. It's like, you know what? There are rules of engagement to this. You are a hired mercenary. Fans here don't have to love you. You were not drafted here. You don't have all this goodwill and credibility built up. You were brought here for a business transaction to do an assignment. Haven't done that. Has been healthy. That part's not his fault, but that's the reality of it. Been here for 2 years, hasn't been on the field long enough. So now you're going to come out here and say, people are questioning my character. Yeah, Deshaun, people are questioning your character because more than 24 women said that you did some pretty ugly things to them. And the New York Times found over 60 women that massaged him over the course of 17 months or whatever it was. So let's just, like, if we're going to do it, then let's do it. Like, if he wants to say that, then okay, then I'm going to explain to you why people were questioning your character. I don't know why. I honestly don't know why that's so controversial. If people, like, if fans want to hide behind the, well, he wasn't indicted. He wasn't indicted of anything. Okay, you're right. He was not indicted. But Sue Robinson reviewed 4 cases the NFL put in front of her and said that the NFL cleared its burden of proof that he committed sexual assault. You can't run with one and ignore the other. Both things are true.
Well, Jason, let me tell you this. Not a retort, but when I watched the press conference, I got kind of more of what the offseason has been. I mean, he's been at the bottom of a lot of quarterback rankings. A lot of people have said, you know, he's a bygone quarterback. A lot of people have made fun of a lot of fans for holding on to the second half of Baltimore, where I'm sitting there going, well, if we don't have the second half of Baltimore, what do we really have here? We got to look forward to something. I thought that was more what he was responding to. And I wasn't in the room. I will admit I wasn't in the room. But from what I saw, I thought that was more of what it was.
Well, the reaction when he left, the reaction I had and the reaction a lot of other people were, what was that? Are you serious? Seriously? He's going to stand there and talk about his character and people not liking him? So, I mean, that's just – and I mean, I don't judge what I write based on what the people around me think in terms of the other media and the other writers. Like, I wrote what I thought. But I don't think I'm in the minority on how that day went at all.
Jason Lloyd with us. Well, it presents a tough issue for fans who just want to root for their football team.
Sure, of course.
Well, this is what I'm getting at. Like, we've done everything that is being relitigated again when a column comes out like that. We've obviously done that. We've come to grips with it, and we as fans have had to determine, do we think, A, it's a big deal what he's accused of, B, What do we make of how the courts litigated it or didn't litigate it in the end, and settlements that might have been paid, and how the Browns also have to come to terms with, you know, the fact that he's eligible to play football. So he's eligible to play football in a Browns uniform. We are going to go out there and we're going to cheer the guy on when he throws for touchdowns. When a column comes out like that, it almost makes us be confronted again with all of these issues and how big of a deal we think it is. And it almost seems like in the end, as fans, we have to put ourselves on the chopping block about whether we're being good fans or bad fans by rooting for him. And I think that's why it gets met with hostility. We just want to move on and be fans again.
All I did was hold up a mirror. That's it. And I get you want to root for your team. And you should root for your team. You should go out and root for the Browns. But I don't think that this is by any means controversial or incorrect or wrong. Like, all I did was hold up a mirror.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
That's it. And sometimes that's uncomfortable, and sometimes we don't want to talk about it. I don't want to talk about it anymore. And after this, hopefully we never talk about it again. If he stands up there and keeps talking about his character, we're probably going to talk about it again. But if none of the questions went there. He's the one that went there. He took it there. We didn't. Darryl was the first one to ask him a question. It was the most mundane, typical training camp question you could come up with. And that's where he took it. Okay, well, if that's where you take it, then that's where we're going to go. But, you know, if he goes out against Dallas and balls out and throws for 300 yards, I'm going to write wonderful, nice things about how well he played on the field, because
that's
the moment.
Jason, that's important, and I find that to be very interesting, because there are fans, and there are those in the Watson camp that they tell us every day about how they're not even sure he did anything wrong. And then they go, you guys are incapable of covering him without bias. What you just said there, I do think is important. Are we going to treat him as just a normal football player? Because they don't believe there are people in the media that are capable of doing that.
Well, he has been treated as a normal football player for the last 2 years. Once we got over all of this stuff, he hasn't been asked about this stuff. It hasn't come up. In terms of, like, Cleveland media who are there every day, don't talk about it anymore. He's the one that brought it up. He's the one that took it there. So I went there because that's where he wanted to go with it. But in terms of, like, trying to drag this stuff up, everybody wants to move on. But it is still the reality of the situation that we're in. But I'm not going to – again, I was one of the first people trying to defend the guy in the first place. And I was the one saying, Tony Busby, here is this case. I obtained testimony, court testimony, and pressed him on court testimony. Because all in an effort of just trying to get to the truth and the reality of the situation. And that's still the case. In terms of, you know, I've seen a few of, like, all right, we'll keep the same energy as on the field. It's like, guys, I am going to keep the same energy of trying to be unbiased and fair, and that's it. And I was trying to be unbiased and fair when I went after Busby and when I was defending him and saying the Browns had to do better, he's eligible, what do you want? And now I'm trying to be just as unbiased and fair the other side too. Just because you write something negative doesn't mean that you hate the Browns. Like, that's the part I can't wrap my head around. Like, everybody just wants everything to be so positive and flowery all the time. I'm just trying to remove the
training.
Emotion
it from is it. Training, Cam. I mean,
I'm just trying to remove the emotion from it.
Understandable on your side, but you're not surprised. I mean, it's training camp. That's what people want to be flowery, whatever, and be positive during training camp.
Sure.
I mean, they were 1-15, and people thought that they were going to be good during training camp.
Yeah. I do think they're a good team. I think they're going to have a fine year. I hope he can stay healthy, and I hope he has a great year. I hope on the field he does well and the Browns advance. Like, this, if there's this thought that, like, I'm rooting against the Browns, that's silly. That's just silly. I'm just trying to be realistic about everything that's going on. That's it.
Well, I know that there have been people, and I've been one of them, that have been like, man, is he getting bad advice? The PR stuff, I know it's a tough uphill battle with some fans, especially after Baker Mayfield was so popular with such a huge segment of the fan base and he won a playoff game. And now you go to this and there's baggage and he hasn't played well. So obviously the one key is play well. Okay, but short of that, what can he do to truly represent this fan base, or is that damage done? Can he not do that? Will there be people that will always be uncomfortable with Deshaun Watson?
Yes, there are. I've heard from a ton of them over the years, and obviously particularly the last few days, but there are people who are, I will not root for the Browns as long as Deshaun's the quarterback. Okay, well, like, that's your right. That's your prerogative. I totally get it. Nothing he can do about that. He's not going to change those people's minds. But if he goes out, stays healthy, and plays well and wins, a lot of this stuff's going to go away. Whether you like that or not, that's again, that's just the truth and the reality of it. That's going to go away, but he hasn't done that yet. I actually wonder how much the Flacco thing, I don't know if annoyed is the right word or impact maybe is a better word, impacted him, because here's a guy who comes to the city. Can we all agree he has not been totally beloved and received? Is that fair to say? I think that's pretty fair to say. There are fans who love him, and there are fans who want nothing to do with him, but he has not exactly been embraced by the entire Cleveland community. And so then he gets hurt and goes out and watches Joe Flacco come in and absolutely captivate the city, run this offense exactly how it's supposed to look. And Tony, we talked about that when I was in the other day. Yeah, he threw a lot of interceptions. Yes, he did. But he also showed you how that offense can go and what it's supposed to look like.
But
fell hard for Flacco. What do you think? How do you think Deshaun felt watching that? How do you think Deshaun felt?
That part I can understand, but I kind of disagree about the offense. I think I think they're trying to run an offense more suited for Deshaun Watson. And then without Deshaun Watson, I think that they were going to run an offense that's more suited for Kevin Stefanski, where it's like, hey, you are now a cog in my system. Don't mess up the system. Joe Flacco's a veteran. And he could mess up the system a little bit, and he did, but mostly it was like, hey, we're going to protect the quarterback. We're trying to run the ball. We're going to try to get out here with wins.
He won comeback player of the year based on five games.
He won comeback five player. Games. I didn't say he played poorly, but I don't think that it was this different offense. I think it was classic Kevin Stefanski offense, and that's not a knock on him, but I don't think it was this offense that they want to run ran to a T.
I think the offense looked a lot better under Joe Flacco than it did under Deshaun Watson last year.
But I don't think it was the same offense.
You disagree? Yeah.
But I don't think it was the same offense.
Well, it was play action. It was a lot of the.
But it wasn't RPO, and when it wasn't that, it wasn't a lot of empty backfield. It wasn't double tight. It was more double tight with Joe Flacco. I mean, I thought they went heavy a lot more.
Again, I had the conversation with Deshaun in Baltimore, the Baltimore game everybody talks about after that game. He was at no point complaining. I want to make that clear. He was not complaining about the offense. He just told me, I'm not used to doing it this way. Kevin likes it under center. Like I'm doing things that I haven't always done before. Wasn't complaining about it, just saying it's not natural for him. And Flacco made that run beautifully. So what did they do? They threw the whole thing out and rebuilt the whole thing.
What? Oh, sorry, Tone. I thought you were holding your hand up. No, okay. Jason Lloyd joining us here on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Like, I'm not trying to fight you on it or anything like that. You know, your opinion's your opinion. That's fine. I disagree with some of it, but that's okay. So, basically, Jason, like, Tone, which way do you want to take this here? Because I wanted to ask about the Cavs, but we're kind of up against it coming up here.
Yeah, well, quickly, because then we'll get to the Guardians deadline, if you don't mind, if we hold you for just a few minutes, because the Tristan Thompson move gets done yesterday. And people said, that's it. They're committed to the core four. I looked at it a totally different way. I don't think it's a commitment at all beyond maybe at least close to the deadline. And beyond that, I think this team is still very much going to be in flux. What is your read on that?
Well, I was driving home from vacation last night when that broke. So just sort of like train of thought, three things that fell through my head. Number one was they're doubling down on the two bigs. My second thought was, well, if it doesn't work, if Atkinson can't get it to work, this is they just increased his trade value by putting the number of years on the deal that they have. And then my third thought was, and if it does work, the Cavs are really sort of going against what the league has been trying to do under this new CBA, which is, I mean, think about it. They're going to have four max contracts. If he stays, like, right, if this wasn't done to trade him, and I don't think this was done to trade him, I think this was done to try and make it work. If he stays and this works, they will have four max players on this team, which goes completely against what the NBA is trying to do with the CBA. And I wrote about this last week. They need to stay under the tax line this offseason, which is why I think you've seen the lack of movement. The plan all along was to go under the tax on Mobley's max extension, which kicks in next year. And that's for repeat offender type issues. I wrote about it last week. You can go find it. But the interesting thing is, if they start getting the second apron status, and with four max contracts, I have to believe they're going to be getting the second apron status. I haven't, like I said, I just came home from the beach last night, haven't run the numbers on all this. What the league has done is basically said, if you cross into second apron threshold on the salary cap, you're not going to be able to fill any roster holes. Like, don't go into the second apron expecting to be able to still fix your roster. You're not going to be able to do it. The Phoenix Suns are figuring that out. You have to be whole by the time you get there. And I think that's what they're trying to do, is have a whole roster in place, certainly the main pieces, the big key pieces in place by the time they hit that second apron. And we're talking like 2 years away, 2-3 years away. But those were my initial thoughts on it. It makes sense. I was a little surprised from Jarrett's perspective at first that he would do it. But then I talked to our cap guy last night real briefly. Danny LaRue said he didn't really leave that much money on the table. Obviously, when you sign with 2 years left, we talked about it last offseason, Donovan, it did make sense for him to sign with 2 years left. It's better to do it with 1 year left, which is how it went. Danny said he didn't think Jarrett was really leaving that much money on the table. And obviously for him, it's better to just get the money done and get the 5 years under his belt and all the money guaranteed.
I had to keep you because, you know, Lima got some people in Dander. It seems that most Cleveland fans agree with him, Jason, about the Dolans, about the Guardians, and about what Lima said yesterday. Tone, I mean, you can tell Jason what you said yesterday. I'm sure Jason might have seen it, might not. He was on vacation, but either way.
Yeah, on a morning where the Guardians had the best record in baseball, had just taken 2 out of 3 against the best team in baseball to that point, and the Guardians made a couple deals in a market that was suppressed, that everybody said was not going to be a great market, I could not believe the negativity surrounding the team. And then I called them dorks and losers, the fans that were irate about all that. So Jason, was I carrying water for the Dolans?
No. Can you imagine I wanted Yusei Kikuchi as much as anybody from Toronto. I thought he'd have been a great stop. Had they traded Chase DeLauder for that, plus more, which is basically what Houston did with Joey LoPorfido, Like, what would the reaction have been then? So there, like, I don't hate Alex Cobb. I hope he's healthy. I hope they can get him back. That dude is a tough SOB on the hill when he's right and when he's healthy. I think he actually beat Cleveland in a playoff game back a few years ago, the Danny Salazar playoff game, I think. Yeah.
He did.
So I like him a lot. It's a typical sneaky lot of value if it hits type of play. So it's like this is not a bash the Dolans deadline. I didn't see it that way. This deadline wasn't about spending money. You can have that conversation anytime you want. This was about how much pain are you willing to endure for the return that, I mean, listen, if you can go get, I don't know, Tarek Skubal, yeah, go get him and give up every prospect it takes to go get him. But that wasn't the reality of the situation that they were in. You can only do what was available to you, and it takes, you know, two to get a deal done. And if the top guys aren't available and you don't want to give your top prospect, and it's not about holding on to the top prospect because you want to see him bloom into a star. It's about holding on to the prospect until a better deal comes along. And I'm all in on Cleveland this year. And I thought they needed to be aggressive and make moves. And I think, you know, they did that to the best that they could. I'm not angry with what they did at the deadline. And I actually think it's the message you send to the guys in the clubhouse that's equally or more important than the guys you're actually bringing in. Because last year, I think they upset a lot of people with the Manzardo move, the Savali for Manzardo. And I thought it was the right move at the time. That team was not really going to contend. But just any sort of help and just the signal that it sends to the clubhouse that, hey, we believe in you guys. We believe in this team and we're going to push in on it. You know, I thought that they did that. I don't think this deadline was driven by finances as much as it was just the cost of doing business.
See, I agree with that, Jason, because it's like, well, I think there are a team that's worthy of going all in for. But if the guys aren't available, then they're not available. So I would want them to go all in. Do I want them to give up everything for some of the pitchers that went out there? No, I really don't. And I can't advocate for them to make a stupid move or what they think is certainly just a lopsided move for a little return. Does that make any sense to you?
Yeah. Yeah, no, it does. But then, you know, let's be fair about it. Baltimore sure got a lot done. You know, the Orioles were incredibly active and they have the best farm system, in my opinion, in baseball in terms of top-end talent.
But that would mean that they have more to give up. I mean, it's been driven home throughout this entire year that our farm system is not what it was in years past because a lot of those guys are up in the bigs now.
There's more depth. The premier top end at the top probably isn't what it was. And plus, I just wonder, I don't know that the rest of baseball values middle infielders the way Cleveland does. You know, they don't have a lot of the big pitching arms, and the deal they did make, you saw it was a pitcher, Alex Klemny. And so a lot of their talent is at that middle infield spot, and I just don't know that it drew the same sort of, you know, I don't know that other teams coveted their guys as much as some of the other teams, which probably worked against them as well.
I told Ken yesterday on the phone that I allowed myself to envision a scenario where the Guardians win the World Series, or at least get there. I don't often get to that point, but I was just thinking about it, and I'm like, man, dare to dream, right? Could this team actually win the World Series despite how shaky the rotation is? Although Gavin Williams, very nice start. Lively has been nails almost every time out this year. And Bybee, and then we'll see what happens with Cobb and whoever else. Are you allowing yourself to think that this team could win the World Series?
Yeah, they could, because of the bullpen. I absolutely think that they could. This has become such a bullpen-driven game. If you can get, you know, if you can get through the order twice as a starter, just get through, or maybe one and a half, you know, get to the bullpen before you see, you know, the 2-3-4 hitters a second time through, and make it a bullpen game. That's very much how specialized baseball has gotten, and their bullpen is elite. So, and I'll go back. I'm going to mess this up because I didn't look this up. I didn't know that I'd bring this up, but I went back and looked. It was on my Twitter account. Through 60 games, and I know, you know, it's 60 games or we're well past that point, but the Guardians had 40 wins in their first 60 games. And since the wild card in 95, I'm trying to do this off memory, I think 22 of the 24 teams that got to 40 wins within their first 60 games went to the playoffs. Like six of them went to the World Series and four of them won it, including the Rangers last year. So, like, you can say, well, it's 60 games, but it's setting the precedence of, like, you know, what happens when you have that in place, I guess. And I absolutely think this team could win a World Series. Yeah, I think Baltimore is really good. I think New York's really good. I think the Dodgers are really good. But none of them are infallible. All of them can be beaten, especially if the Guardians get hot at the right time. And that's really what baseball is all about in October, if you're playing well in October.
Mike Vrabel is a consultant, but he doesn't have a role on game day. Should Mike Vrabel have a role on game days?
It's up to
Do you think he should have a role on game days?
I don't know what it would be. What would it be?
I don't know. I'm asking you the question.
But that's what I'm saying. In practice, he can stand on the practice field and help.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. But he's not a coordinator. He's not a position coach.
Jason, I don't disagree with you. I was setting you up to answer the question yes or no, because we had a big fight like within the final minute of the show yesterday about this. So I was going to ask your opinion.
Yeah, no. Unless you want him in the replay booth saying yes or no challenge, you know, I don't know what it would be.
So, do you believe yes or no? Should he be there on game days? Should he have any role at all on game days?
No, I don't think it's important that he does. No, I think he's more valuable Monday through Saturday. He can certainly be there to help.
What a gigantic waste of a brilliant football mind on game days.
Look at you and me.
What a waste.
The game moves so fast. What do you want him to do?
Take Callie Bronson's headset and put it on his head.
But there's a play, like, it's every 30 seconds there's another play. If he's not a coordinator, he's not – how much are the – you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I think he's more valuable to them Monday through Saturday.
Jason, thank you for all of this.
Well,
except for the beginning, I don't thank you for that. But other than that, everything else has been great.
I don't like when you and I agree, because usually – you're wrong.
We agree.
Usually Lyme is right.
Really? You think that?
Yeah.
You really think you know NFL offense based on what you were saying about Deshaun Watson running that offense? Please. That's embarrassing.
Not going to get a thank you card this time, Jason.
No thank you cards to you, buddy boy. Goodbye.
See ya.
Jason Lloyd.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Nore Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nore Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nore.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.